listen to Danny Lakey and turn it up to the ceiling. Everything could go so wrong, but you'll be so happy. It's Danny Lakey, yeah. It's Danny
right across Lakey. Australia, this is the Danny Lakey Show.
It's Danny Lakey.
Oh, well, we talked about the disgusting beast that is free-to-air television on commercial radio. We also spoke about the big travel bubble. The big travel bubble. Big old Trans-Tasman. Getting a run again. Good news for all. But from one news.com.au journalist, thou shall not be named. Let's kick it off, though, with this. Another classic down at the Narrabeen Classic Surfing Competition over the weekend. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, did you manage to get down to Narrabeen? Check out the Narrabeen Classic. Oh, another classic down at Narrabeen. Going to the surf comp. All the big surfers were there. I know the breaks well. I know all the surfers quite well. I love the sand between my toes, just going down there and watching some surfing. The thing is, sometimes you can't really tell. Like, unless you surf a lot, you can't really tell the difference between a pro surfer and just an okay surfer down at the beach. Like, you don't have enough nous, like know-how of the sport to really appreciate the subtle differences. But I was getting real into the Narrabeen Classic over the weekend, watching some highlights and whatnot, all thanks to Rip Curl, obviously. And Dylan Moffat, one of the locals, well, in fact, born and bred in Narrabeen, he had a great showing. Old Dylan Moffat, the great Narrabeen surfer at the Narrabeen Classic.
Then Narrabeen local Dylan Moffat delighted the crowd.
He got the spin going really early on that one.
Yeah, he really did. I've never seen a spin so early. Dylan Moffat, he's known for his early spins on the waves. And unlike some of the other pro surfers who just leave their spins a little late, in my opinion, Dylan Moffat's, he's surfing off his life. He's having a great time. You know, he's surfing at his local beach at the Narrabeen Classic, and everyone's getting around local hope, Dylan Moffat. And what a great showing he did. Till the third round, unfortunate these things happen. Moffat unfortunately came up against one of the champs.
Advancing to round three, Moffat was valiant, but couldn't beat the Brazilian Gabriel Medina.
Oh, God, yeah, it's tough, isn't it? Moffat versus Medina. Although it's Moffat's local break, Gabriel Medina, there's a reason why he's one of the best in the world. And that's unfortunate. And you think, well, would it dampen the mood of the crowd? A little bit. Would it dampen the mood of Moffat? Well, how would Moffat's mood fare in all of this? How would Moffat's mood move after a defeat to Medina?
That was a lot of fun. It's not often you get to surf a heat with a two-time world champion at your local beach break, so just trying to soak in all the atmosphere.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why we love Moffat. I don't even think he realises that he's in a surf comp. I just think he thinks it's another day down at the beach. Another one down at the Narrabeen break. That's all good. That's all well. And I was watching this on the news last night. My heart bled for Dylan Moffat. And until I saw one of the greatest requests to ask a celebrity to sign something I've ever seen. Cue after all the champions, they're like waving up the trophies and the waves and all that. And then there's just some cheesy punter who goes up to Moffat, who's still got his surfboard in his hand, he's still got his rash top on, and asks if Dylan Moffat can sign his forehead for him. And this is what the guy had to say.
I hopefully want to keep it on all night, to be honest, and going to work tomorrow with it on my forehead. It'll be great.
And just like that, the celebrity signature is alive and well. Just a man so stoked to have Dylan Moffat's signature on his forehead. This man may never bathe again. This man may never shower. You can hear the joy in this man's face and forehead when going into work tomorrow, showing all the guys, hey, guys, look at this. Look, what? There's just those black squiggles on your forehead. Yeah, it's Dylan Moffat, mate. It's Dylan Moffat. Got it down at the Narrabeen Classic yesterday. So, yeah, you guys want a selfie with us? The thing is, these days when you see a celebrity, too often people are quick to jump to, can I have a selfie with you? Can I just have a selfie? Oh, can you just have a selfie? Whatever happened to just the good old-fashioned signature? And that's what I like about this guy who just brought it back into vogue yesterday, single-handedly on one forehead.
Going to work tomorrow with it on my forehead.
I mean, he's just so excited. Listen to his little smirks at the end there.
I hopefully want to keep it on all night.
Keep it on all night.
He'll be great.
Yeah, it'll be great. Yeah, he'll absolutely love that. And on 133353, who signed what?
Who did you meet and ask them to sign something? And then what did that person actually sign? I want to know who signed what. Signed what?
We'll probably have to go a bit retro tonight, won't we? Because signatures were so old school. Not the rise of the selfie. Nowadays, it's just A1 to go up and ask for a photo with someone. But back in the day, did you get something signed by someone pretty important? What did they sign? Who was the signature buy? I miss those days. And I hope, to be honest, that we can see resurgence in celebrity signatures rather than celebrity selfies. This day and age, after this man's great forehead work, I remember fondly in 2003, in grade 9, Churchland Senior High School. At lunchtime, West Coast ruckman Dean Cox came to the school to give a small inspirational speech. And I was selling charity fundraising Freddo Frogs at the time. So I saw my opportunity as a savvy Freddo Frog businessman and made sure that I got old Dean Cox to sign one of the Freddo Frogs with the permanent marker that I gave him, hoping to double the price of the Freddo Frog in question. This was a jumbo Freddo Frog for a jumbo ruckman, Dean Cox. He signed it with a smile on his face, even though deep down I would imagine that he would have wanted to king hit me. Nothing worse than a grade 9 boy asking you to sign a Freddo Frog for his own financial gain. But Dean was good enough. And I did sell that Freddo Frog for $2.50 instead of the recommended retail price of $2. Thank you, Dean, for that. Who signed what on 133353? A couple of rock stars, a couple of sports stars. Trevor in Bundaberg, good evening to you. You're a sucker for a signature.
Yeah, mate.
Yeah. What? Who signed what?
I got Rex Hunt. Remember the old fisherman, Rex Hunt?
I remember Rex Hunt. How could I forget? He's right in my frontal cortex.
Yeah, mate, good signature. He wrote good fishing, and the F was a fishing rod with a little fish on the end of it, and then signed his name under it.
I mean, it's 10 out of 10 for, as far as signatures go. It's got everything you want. You want a little bit of humour. You want the message. As you can tell, like the B-grade celebrities from the A-grade celebrities, the ones that go the extra mile, write a message for you. Happy fishing, etc. I think he just changed his name to Rex Hunt because he knew how good that would look on paper. To be honest, he's thought of all the moves. And so where did you say he signed it? On a, what was it?
On my helmet, my work helmet. I was an apprentice staying in Brisbane.
Great.
And he was staying in the same motel as us. I ran upstairs and found a Nico pen and my helmet. Mm. And I've still got that helmet hung up in my shed today.
Absolutely, you would. And it's a hard surface to do. It's not a flat surface, is it? For Rex has got to almost circumnavigate the helmet. So there's bonus points there. He goes straight to the top. It is better than the Dylan Moffat Monday forehead signing. Thanks, Trev. Thanks, Rex, as well, for being the catalyst of the story. And great conversation. Chris in the Central Coast. Hello.
Yeah, g'day, Danny.
You're a big Barnsley fan.
Yeah, mate. I've got all three of his books signed.
Oh, yeah.
I've got posters signed from him. One's a one-off working class man poster. Nah. I've got T-shirts signed and a heap of CDs signed. All up, I've got his autograph 14 times.
Easy there, Chris. Easy. So 14 times is great. Let's crunch a few more numbers. Are these on 14 separate occasions? Are you sticking to the one signature per meeting
14
rule?
14 separate occasions, I've got his autograph.
I like that. I like that you're not being greedy. You are being persistent, but you're not taking the piss. There's nothing worse than someone going, oh, can you sign this for me? And the celebrity goes down their way, signs it, and then they just pull out like another four items. Go, can you just sign this for my mate Sonia as well? Or, I've actually got a boy. He's been a bit sick lately. Can you sign something for Christopher as well, please? I like this. Chris knows the signature game. He knows the etiquette game, and Barnsley seems to be replicating this as well. Great call. I'm just going to sandwich this. Is it better than Rex Hunt's helmet? Yeah, I think just on pure numbers alone, I think Barnsley's got it. Greg in Corowa on 133353. We've got a real hot leaderboard at the moment. Who signed what?
Lousy actually signed the bonnet of a HRT V8 supercar for me.
Wow. I can only hear this because it's written in front of me as well. Craig Lowndes signed the bonnet of your car.
That's correct. Yep.
Great. Big bonnet, small pen. Where does Craig Lowndes go from here? Does he do a big signature that spans across the bonnet or still a normal size signature just in the corner like a little postage stamp?
Oh, no, well, he had to work his way around a few other guys, so he just went straight bang in the middle, right over the top of the HRT logo.
Yeah, nice. Well, that's so Craig, isn't it, to make sure that he's right over the top of the HRT.
Struggling the whole time.
Yeah, that bit's not written down, so I didn't get that bit either. Plugger in Tatura, New South Wales. Let's wrap this up, because it's a real hot leaderboard now. I'm going to have to put Craig Lowndes just above Dylan Moffat for Moffat Mondays. Who signed what?
All good now. Tatura's in Victoria. That's all good. But I dragged a bottle of Glenn McGrath's Hickory Sauce down to the MCG from Tatura and had him sign the label. So it's a curved surface, a bit difficult. So I've got the Ooh-ah Glenn McGrath Waddy's Hickory Sauce pride of place at home.
Great. So I was unaware, and call me naive, but I was unaware that Glenn McGrath had his own label of Hickory Sauce. Is this what you're saying?
Yeah, 100%. He was actually injured on the day. I reckon if I took a box of bottles, he would have done the lot. So that would have been against the etiquette, though.
Yeah, it would have been. You can't take a 12-pack of Hickory down to Glenn McGrath. Was he doing a boundary signing? Was this post-match?
Pre-match. Yeah, waited for the minibus.
Waited for the minibus.
Yeah, Mark Waugh's hard to get. Always got his hands full.
Yeah, of course.
And Steve Waugh, yeah, he's got the attitude of a madman.
Yeah, I know, yeah. It's always Glenn McGrath. Always has, always will be. Ooh, Glenn McGrath. Ooh, Glenn McGrath. Oh, we like that one.
Going to work tomorrow with it on my forehead.
The Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast.
Big day for the Trans-Tasman bubble. It's open. I declare the borders open and the bubble insular and closed. And what a great bubble it is. And make sure, be responsible with your bubbling. Todd Carney, speaking to you, and the rest of the population. If you are to go over to over the Tasman Sea to New Zealand, or vice versa, make sure that you're not carrying a flu. Don't bring anything over the bubble area, okay? We don't want the bubble to burst this early. You want to keep the bubble going for the rest of the year. And it's a big day. Corridor between Australia and New Zealand officially open. And you think all the journalism today would just be fire, like a game-changing moment, like in this battle against the great pandemic.
Coronavirus!
Like, what good news. Finally, people can see their families again. People can experience the thrill of a holiday. You can exchange cultures and finances. Go see friends. It's the first day of the rest of our lives, kind of thing. And then this news.com.au article, what a nice little blurb here. Hundreds of travellers went to Sydney Airport this morning to catch first flights overseas in 395 days. But they were met with a sad sight. Oh. Wait, what's this? What's the sad sight? Oh, no. Is someone unfortunately like fainted in the terminal or something? Oh, no. Was someone not allowed through because their passport expired? What was so sad? Oh, no. Did someone accidentally like not make their flight in time? They were looking very much forward to seeing their relatives for the first time in 400 days. No. As the first people arrived at Sydney International Airport to take advantage of the Trans-Tasman bubble, they were confronted with desolate scenes. Oh, no. What are these desolate scenes? With almost every store in the airport closed, including McDonald's and Hugo Boss. Oh, no. The shuttered shop fronts and lack of crowds was a stark difference from the usual bustling atmosphere airport goers are used to. Who writes this? Who decided to cover this morning? Yeah, we're going to send you to the airport. Just soak in the vibe, right? Concentrate on the families, like the economic impact that it might like prop up two nations. Like it just, you know, focus on that. And then they're just, oh, no. Oh, no one's going to be able to buy those Ralph Lauren polo tops in those shut down glass windows, are they? Oh, anyone going to get their medium Toblerone? No, don't think so now. Oh, God. Like, what a ridiculous piece of writing to write on news.com.au. Focus on the good, for goodness sake. The Trans-Tasman bubble's open. I don't know, maybe I'm misguided. Maybe people are very excited about what's going on in the airport retail scene.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're just about ready to start our descent into Sydney. Air New Zealand thanks you for flying with us today. Please make sure you fill out all appropriate forms regarding passports, visas and COVID requirements. Just a few quick notes before landing. The Sydney Opera House is now back operating at full capacity. However, the opportunity to purchase Bulgari perfume at the airport is still not available due to lack of airport numbers. The Harbour Bridge climb is back and fully operational. However, the opportunity to buy a already overpriced pair of underwear from Emporio Armani is still not in operation. Bars are back open and you are able to dance again within the whole of the Greater Sydney area. However, the opportunity to save $6 off a bottle of Tanqueray gin in the duty-free store is still strictly off limits. And Air New Zealand also regrets to inform you there will be no opportunity for the purchase of UGG boots at the Sydney International Airport. Passengers will have to attend one of the other 243 shops in the city that stocks this item.
Yeah, that's okay.
And just finally, all passengers from New Zealand are reminded that UGG boots are a fashion item, not a sex toy.
Something that I'm curious about, maybe a little naive about, possibly sheltered from, but always asking questions about, is free-to-air television. Having done nighttime radio for the last 5 to 6 years, A, I'm in the wrong medium, and B, I'm in the wrong time slot for the free-to-air prime-time bonanza that happens all the time. It's this big monster that's just feeding TV networks, the big three, Channel 7, Channel 9, Channel 10. Millions of dollars being paid to men in suits to determine what time that program will play and at which month that program will air. Massive battles, multi-million dollar contracts signed. Oh, no, we can't do this show here because look what they've got there. Oh, we don't have our show up against their show at this time. What if we just push back our show a little bit? What are the ratings on this show? Why don't we move it? Oh, a bit dismal. Why don't we move that a little bit later on in the year? Like big, big business is the free-to-air Ferris wheel. And it wouldn't be big, big business unless there are millions of families each night tuning in the lounge room to these big shows. And I'm not on my high horse. I'm not saying I'm better than any of these shows. Like a lot of the commentary on social media, people are like, oh God, anyone who watches maths, oh no, shoot me now. I'd rather watch paint dry. Well, clearly 1.4 million people would not rather watch paint dry. I've crunched the numbers on the maths. I've done some maths on the maths, and there's plenty of families that are keen to watch that. And it just finished, I believe it wrapped up last night, right? After what seemed like about 2 months of car crash slash great television, not knocking it. There are families out there that that's their thing, right? And I couldn't think of anything worse than being someone who is in a free-to-air family who hates free-to-air television, like just some disgruntled dad out there with his wife and three daughters. All he wants to do is just watch something on Netflix. Like, Dad, get off. Watch it on your iPad. Go upstairs. We're watching free-to-air television. It's my biggest fear. It's probably the number one reason I'm considering a vasectomy and not having children. To think that one day my reality could be weeknights, Monday to Sunday, that people want to watch a television program in the main room of the house that I don't want to watch sounds like an absolute nightmare. I'd love to know on 133353 if you are in a free-to-air family. And even better, if you do love the free-to-air TV. Like for so long, like people have been afraid to admit they just shamelessly love free-to-air television. It's not just maths, is it? Like, that was the big Channel 9 one. The other TV shows, they kind of just accept that they can't put on their own shows during maths season. They just put on, like, their rejected little bits. Like, oh, holy moly. Yeah, we'll roll the dice. Let's do a bit of holy moly whilst maths is on. Channel 7. Channel 10, The Amazing Race. And what an amazing race it was. Do you watch The Amazing Race? On 133353. Now that maths is over, oh, it's time for new free-to-air television. Well, what's the next big thing? MasterChef, I think it's kicked off tonight. For what, it's 12th season? 13th season? Lego Masters? Back for season 3? Dancing with the Stars? That's on now in the background. Todd McKinney's losing his shit. Oh, one can only imagine people losing their shit watching Todd McKinney lose his shit. 133353. Are you a free-to-air family with all the other options that are going on now? Are you still indulged in the big black box?
Are you a free-to-air family?
Are you a family who always watches free-to-air television?
Family.
Are you part of a family who always watches free-to-air television?
Yeah, either or. Like maybe you go, no, shut up, mate. You don't know anything. You're working during maths time. Don't knock it till you try it. No, I'm not having a go. Are you part of the free-to-air television? Did you resist the free-to-air television family movement to start with? And said, oh, all right then, go on, put on Channel 9. What has Bryce done now? 133353, what free-to-air television are you watching? Ian.
Yeah,
Big Ian, Slippery E. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
You are in a free-to-air family.
I certainly am. You described me, the man with a wife and three daughters. Except you made me sound like I didn't have any teeth. I wasn't happy.
No, that's all right. That's all right. You're living out my nightmare, but Ian has turned this into a dream. So how long does it take to break a man like you down where everyone is showing so much joy in the maths wagon? You can only shun it for so long, I'm assuming.
I've often been caught sitting in the room sticking my fingers in my eye just to see what's more painful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, is this true? Is this from the heart? Because I say it takes a brave man to admit defeat and say, you know what, it's actually not bad, mate. I'm kind of enjoying it. Is there any part of you that goes, oh, like, looks forward to your existence between the hours of 7:30 and 9:30 on a weeknight with your family?
I've got two daughters who sit up for about 2 hours every night from about 11 o'clock watching math, and that's my calling card to go to bed.
Yeah, Ian just slumps off again in his dressing gown, his cup of tea. Right, girls, I'll be reading upstairs if anyone in the family ever needs me. Good on you, Ian. Cameron in Tassie, you don't like free-to-air.
G'day, Danny. How you going, man?
Yeah, not too bad, man. Life's a beach.
That's
at the moment.
Mate.
Appreciate my job.
It is. It is, mate. It is. It's real nice weather down here in Tassie too, mate.
I bet it is.
I cannot believe what's going on in the free-to-air at the moment.
He's outraged.
It's fucking bullshit.
Hey, easy there. Come on, Cameron.
Excuse me.
Family
chat. Yeah,
no.
But the maths and the and all that sort of stuff, mate.
Yep.
I'm trying to get a little bit of, a little bit of stuff going on Netflix too, and that's running out.
I see. Yeah. So this is a man. It's not happening. This is a man who's gone through the whole catalogue of Netflix and is now faced with the awkward reality.
Danny, what's going on with Home and Away?
I wouldn't know. Haven't watched it in a while. The River Boy's back in town.
Same here, mate. I'll give you the hot tip. There's not much after that either.
Nah, you've made your point. And what a great point it was. Mitch in Burley. Good evening to you.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. What, are you for it or against it? What's your free-to-air Ferris wheel looking like?
Well, at the start, I really disliked it. I'd go to my girlfriend's house and it'd be on and I'd be like, oh, God.
Yep.
And then last night at the Maps finale, I was yelling out. I was like, I can't believe Becca's done that.
Here we go.
Now, I think I like it. Yeah.
Well, it's an awkward time to become a fan of Married at First Sight in the final 30 minutes of a two-month-old show, but they finally got him. That's how they get him. That's how they keep going year on year, building the numbers, because now you'll be front and square.
It's not even the word fit anymore, because now I've downloaded the 7-Up or whatever it is, so I can go and watch Home and Away.
Oh, no. What is happening with the River Boys?
I don't want to spill the beans. I try and watch all the, read all the gossip things as well. I'm too into it.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, well, there's always something going on at Summer Bay. It never fails to amaze me. David in Brisbane, you are the last caller through. There's a tinge of the Camerons about you, I think. Yeah, what do you think about free-to-air TV?
Everything about free-to-air TV is fake news, man. It's fake news. It's all mind control programming. I'm here to tell everybody over the radio to wake up. Like, don't watch these programs, man. They're mind control. Do you want me to give you an example? Here we go. This is my only example. I'm out. 2 seconds. CNN, a director from CNN, got filmed undercover, and it got dropped this week, admitting that they pushed fake news about Donald Trump to get him removed out of office. That's called
You Are Fake.
Yep, boom, you got it. So yeah, go to Project Veritas and see one of the CNN directors admitting that they pushed fake news on everybody, that they actually did do it.
Yeah,
and
right.
And have a look at their video about them going to push the coronavirus narrative. That's all I can say. So Australia.
Yeah,
get off it, fake news.
Come on, guys.
All right, get out there and do your research.
Yeah, come on, guys. I'll tell you where it's at. Project Veritas, guys, not Channel 7, a website, projectveritas.com. Stay woke, folks. And congratulations, David. Best call of the night. Box set, seasons 1 to 5 of The Bachelor. Coming your way, buddy. I love that we were getting a call about how mainstream television is fake news on a commercial radio station. Daddy Likey. Triple M.